ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನಾಶಲಾಖಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಾ ಕದಾಮೈಹಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗನಾ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾಧಯತ್ವಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗನಾ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧೇ ಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವಿ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ್ಸ್ ಸಂಡೇ ಫೀಸ್ಟ್. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಡೇ, ವರಾಹ ದ್ವಾದಶಿ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರಾಹ ದೇವ್. ಸೊ ಜಯದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ರಿಟನ್ ಅ ದಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರ ಆನ್ ದಶಾವತಾರ್. So we'll try to recite the verse which is dedicated to Sri Varahadev. So vasati dasana sikhare dharani tavalagna sasini kalanka kalevani magna keshavadrita shukara rupa jay jagadish hare ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ವಿಕ್ಲಿ ರೀಡ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್. ಓ ಕೇಶವ, ಓ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಓ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹರಿ, ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅಸ್ಯೂಮ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಬೋರ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಯು. ದಿ ಅರ್ಥ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಇಮರ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಗರ್ಭೋದಕ್ಷ ಓಷನ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಬಾಟಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. So what we'll try to do today is we'll try and first describe the entire pastime of Sri Varahadev, as how Lord Varahadev appeared. Okay, so the story goes like this, and then once we are done with the pastime, then we can see what lessons we can learn from this Leela of the Lord. So in the morning, very beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam class given by His Grace Baldev Prabhu. And before we start, I actually read the definition of non-violence by Srila Prabhupada. And I was wondering how Srila Prabhupada defines non-violence. So Prabhupada defines very simple, and that is the beauty of a saintly person. He defines non-violence very simple: not to put other into distress. And the whole class today is happening is because I did not want Baldev Prabhu to be in distress. Because yesterday I was not feeling that great, and I informed him yesterday when we met him at GV. I told him that I may not be able to come. But then I felt like it will be really inappropriate, and I'll put somebody in distress, and I'll be committing a violence. So that's why I'm here, and I'm very grateful to the temple management for giving me this opportunity on this very auspicious day. And to be very honest, I am not qualified to sit on this esteemed Vyasasan, which is very pure. But it is Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and devotee's causeless mercy upon me that I am sitting and trying to share something with all of you. And there are so many senior God brothers and God sisters of mine sitting here. I humbly beg their blessings that whatever I can speak can be of some use to all of us here, including myself. So please bless me before we get started. So, when the Sunday feast was given to me, I was just wondering, what should I speak on? And then, like, you know, going through different things, like, you know, should I speak on knowledge? Should I speak on Bhagavad Gita? And various things that I was looking at. But then again, the Lord is being so kind upon me, gave me the tithi itself, that it's a Varaha Dvadashi, right? So the topic was also given by the Lord. So I said, what to speak other than Lord Varahadev on this Varaha Dvadashi? So when I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam and going through the chapters on Varahadev, I really felt that I'm really watching a Hollywood blockbuster. I'm not exaggerating. This specifically I said Hollywood and not Bollywood. Because Hollywood has a much more special effects than Bollywood, isn't it? And believe me, it's a Hollywood blockbuster. And if you really want to relish that, then I really request each one of you that maybe today or tomorrow, whenever you get a time, open Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. And you should read, or rather you must read this. You'll be fascinated by this. Literally fascinated by this. So I'll try to make a justice to the narration of Srila Sukhdev Goswami and Sudha Goswami. So the things goes like this. The Brahma had four sons, four Kumaras. So they were traveling to the Vaikuntha Loka. And as all of you know, that Brahma Kumar, these four Kumaras were dressed in 10 direction. And they went to the doors of Vaikuntha. And Jay and Vijay were the gatekeepers. And that is what happens, that just by looking at the external appearance, we make a judgment. And we will see what happens to them just by making that judgment. And that is what we learn in our own life, that Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra, that we should not judge the Vaishnav by their external appearance. We should go deeper and understand the qualities that they carry. So similarly here, Jay and Vijay thought, these are the small boys, like, you know, dressing in 10 direction, like, you know, what they have some work with the Lord, you know, it just doesn't make sense. So, the four Kumaras really wanted, and Jay Vijay were getting in the argument, and the Lord comes and the four Kumaras say, this is not appropriate. And then finally, the Lord gave them an option. So, because of this offense, either you can choose 7 births in the material world as a devotee or 3 births as a demon. Now just see, the devotees are so smart. He said, 7 lifetimes in material world, even being a devotee, I want a shortcut. I want to come back fast to my Lord and serve my Lord. So he said, my Lord, I agree with 3 demon births. I am okay with that. So both Jay and Vijay agreed to that. And now, they wanted to become a demon. So now they have to look for a particular yoni. Isn't it? It's not just something that they just enter to anybody's womb. So they were looking for an auspicious moment from their perspective. But from the material world's perspective, they were looking for some grahastha's life, an inauspicious moment to happen so that they can enter the womb of that particular lady. So we see that Daksha had married the daughter Diti to Kashyapa Muni. And Diti and Kashyapa, they were ideal in their grahastha life. They were performing so many austerities, doing their bhajans, and they were completely situated in the spiritual life. But as they say, you never know when that moment will come. We can be the devotees of 40 years, 30 years, 10 years, 2 years, whatever. We may be so confident that, you know, I'm going to go back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. I'm doing great. The matter of fact, the Lord says, the most you feel that I am very close to the Lord, you are actually so much away from the Lord. But when you feel that I am so away from the Lord, I have no qualification, I have no bhakti, that is where the Lord considers you so near to Him. So similarly, Diti and Kashyapa were performing spiritual life for so many years. But this one moment where the arrow of Cupid struck Diti towards the evening time, and she developed a very high desire to enjoy. And at that point in time, Kashyapa Muni was performing his sadhana. But somehow or other, as they say, when the desire comes, it just completely overpowers your discrimination, completely eclipses your determination. So at that point in time, the Diti was pleading to Kashyapa Muni that I want to enjoy with you. Now Kashyapa Muni, being so well situated in spiritual life, explained that, my dear wife, this is not the right moment for us to enjoy. Because this is the evening time, the sun is setting, and at this point in time, Lord Shiva is moving around. And who follows Lord Shiva? The ghost and the pretas and other inauspicious beings are following Lord Shiva. Why do they follow Lord Shiva? Because they know that He is the only one who can deliver us. And that is where if any inauspicious thing going on, then such creatures can enter the womb. So at that moment, when Diti was pleading and Kashyapa was explaining that, my dear wife, this is not the right thing, but Diti said, my dear husband, I have served you selflessly for so many years. And all my sisters, they already have sons and daughters. I also desire to have sons. Can you not fulfill my just this small desire? Just see how the proposal comes. The mind becomes the best of the philosophers. And proposing different ideas and different justification to Kashyapa Muni. And at that point in time, when you are in that association, even Kashyapa Muni's determination was going down. And then finally, he started glorifying Diti that, yes, I agree with you, my dear wife, that you have done so much sacrifice. You have served me so selflessly. Your chastity is unparalleled. And I cannot repay the things that you have done. What to speak of in this lifetime, I cannot even repay in the next lifetime. So I must fulfill your desire. These are the exact words of Kashyapa Muni. And he was completely overwhelmed by the proposal and again lost his own discrimination as well. And they indulged into this particular act. They had their union. And just after that, Diti realized, oh my God, what did I do? She immediately requested her husband that, oh my dear Lord, oh my dear husband, please protect my embryo from the wrath of Lord Shiva, because I have offended Lord Shiva. I did not follow the conjunctions and the rules and regulations given by Lord Shiva. So I am sure there will be a wrath of Lord Shiva upon me and of course on the embryo of mine. So I humbly beg you, O Kashyapa Muni, O my dear husband, please protect my embryo. So the Kashyapa Muni said that, I told you that this is what is going to happen, and now we have invited the most demoniac people in your womb. The living entity in your womb, when they will come out, they will create havoc in this world. They will kill the innocent people, they will torture women, and they will harass the great souls. They will be so obnoxious that the whole earth will tremble by their sins. So by again listening to this, Diti was becoming more fearful, and she was so repentful, she was so regretting that, Alas, alas, why did I perform this act? Please save me from this such a ghastly sin. Then Kashyap Muni says, do not worry. Because your sons will be so obnoxious, they will be so powerful in terms of committing sins, there is nobody in this world will be able to come against them. Only the Lord has to come personally and had to kill them. So then Diti becomes a little joyful that, oh, that is so great that my sons will personally be killed by the Supreme Lord Himself. And at that point in time, she made another request to Kashyap Muni that please be merciful on me and my sons, that they should not invite any curse from Brahmanas or the devotees. Because if one invites the curse from the Brahmana or a devotees, then there is no gati for them. There is no solace for them. They will be completely destroyed. It's not that their body will be destroyed, but their whole future things will be destroyed. So please be merciful and please give them a benediction that they will not be cursed by any of the Brahmanas or devotees. And then while they were conversing, the further Kashyap Muni said, there is another thing happening. Because you have a faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because you have performed devotional service, do not worry. Your sons will be killed only by the Lord Himself. And not just that, the grandson of yours will be a great devotee named Prahlad. And the whole world will follow his example and sing his glories throughout the eternity. So by hearing that, Diti becomes peaceful, but still in anxiety. And she wanted to hold these two living entities in her womb for how long? 100 years. 100 years Diti kept them in the womb because she thought if these living entities come out, they will create havoc as been predicted by my husband. So I don't want them to come to this world and create a havoc. So she held them for almost 100 years. But after that she could not hold any longer. And these two great personalities came in this material world. And they are none other than Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was the eldest and Hiranyaksha was the younger one. And while they were performing, as they were born, they were just growing just like that, and their body was almost like a steel framed. Nobody would come against them because they grew to such a size that their head was touching the sky. And their vest belt was covering the sun. So you can imagine. And that is what I said. It is no less than a Hollywood blockbuster. Can you imagine a creature, a living entity is so big in the size that the sun is being covered by their vest belt? Can any Hollywood director can make that scene? It's impossible. It's a reality, but, right? That happened many yugas back. So now they were going and plundering everywhere. And because Lord Brahma had the knowledge that Jay and Vijay had actually come to this world as demons, and there is no one who can come against them and no one can subdue them, only my dear Lord can do that. So what we have to do now? That is what the demigods are really smart. They said there is no point in fighting these people. You know, we'll be killed and we'll be destroyed. So better hide somewhere. So they were like, you know, hiding in their places and they were not coming out at all. And the Hiranyaksha was a very faithful brother or a younger brother of his elder brother Hiranyakashipu. So he do everything to please his brother. And he went on conquering the all and every part of the three planetary systems. So they have conquered the Rasatalas, they have conquered the middle planetary system, they have conquered the upper planetary systems. And they were just excavating the gold and, like, you know, rubies and, like, you know, all kinds of things from everywhere. And they just, like, you know, enjoying like hell. And this Hiranyaksha had a little attitude. you know, he always looking out for a fight. You know, always. It's just unbelievable. So practically he has defeated everybody and like, you know, killed. So Sister Abhi, kya bacha hai mere liye? What do I do? So she actually jumped into the, like, you know, the Garbhodak ocean and like, you know, going in this, and all the living entities inside the oceans were like, you know, completely fearful and like, you know, running away. And he swam so fast and so swiftly, so he almost reached the Vibhavari Nagari. What is the Vibhavari Nagari? Vibhavari Nagari is the abode of Lord Varuna. It's a Varuna Dev's abode. And he went there and he fell at the feet of Varuna Dev and started praising. And he put himself as so humble, like Rupa Goswami falling at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and telling that, please instruct me. The only difference here is he fell in the same way, but not in the same mood. He fell and he said, oh, you are so glorious, Varuna Dev. You are so powerful. You are the supreme personality, he said. Can we have a battle? Let's fight. So Varuna Dev was becoming angry. But somehow or other, he had practiced the pause button. So he did not show his anger, even though he was angry. As they said, right? What is the best thing? That you know that you are angry, that is the victory over your anartha. Because many a times when we are angry, we don't know we are angry. And we commit the things which we repent for the rest of the life. But here in case of Varuna Dev, he was not reacting, he was responding. So he said, oh, you are so powerful, Hiranyaksha. I think I am getting old now. There is no point in having a battle with me, because it will be really unfair. I think you should have a battle. And I think the only person in this entire universe who can fight with you is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. He said, oh, really? He said, yes. She said, how can I find him? She said, you should go and meet Narada Muni. So just see, it's amazing. Like, you know, even a demon wants to find a lord. What to speak of a devotee? They have to approach a great soul like Narada Muni. Right? So he, sure enough, approached Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni is always ready to help the Leela of the Lord. Always ready to serve the Lord in his Leela. So Narada Muni said, oh, you are so powerful. I think, yeah, only Vishnu can fight with you. Where could I find him? He said, you know what? Right now, he's at the Rasatala. He's trying to save the Mother Earth. And he's in the form of a boar. So why don't you go there? He said, yeah, sure enough. I'll go there. I'd love to have a fight. And why not the person who has really made our dynasty so, like, you know, disgraceful by killing so many of our demons. I would definitely want to kill him. So he jumped and he saw Varaha Dev taking the Mother Earth on his tusk. And very beautifully explained by Jayadeva Goswami that when the Lord was carrying the Mother Earth on his tusk, it was like the pod marks on the moon. It was looking so beautiful. And the first of all, one should think that, like, you know, just see the beauty of the Lord. He can become anything and everything, and that becomes glorious. He was not an ordinary boar. Now, why he became a boar? Because the Mother Earth has fell into the bottom of the ocean, of Garbhodak Ocean, and which is a very filthy place to some extent. And who can go to such filthy place? Only a boar form can go to the filthy place. And that is where the Lord assumed the boar form. So the Lord do everything and anything to help their devotee. And Mother Bhumi is, in one sense, his own consort and devotee. So the Lord assumed that particular form of a boar. And then when he went to the bottom and he was carrying the Mother Earth, so does anybody know what is the weight of the earth and the diameter of the earth? It's just unbelievable. Right? Can you design? Can you have a graphics? You can have a picture, that's a separate thing. But to have an actual effect of going into the Garbhodak Ocean and the earth falling into the ocean. Can anybody picturize that? And not just that. The Lord in the form of boar is carrying the Mother Earth.
the whole earth, which is like, you know, who can weigh the earth? Any weighing scale has been invented to weigh the mother earth? Diameter, probably we can do it to some extent, right? Probably like, you know, 18,000 miles or whatever, something of that sort. So you can imagine the size of the Lord Bor, Varahadev, right? So when I was reading this, my God, such a like, you know, fascinating thing to just then imagine that, you know, the Varahadev is carrying Mother Earth on his tusk. And while he was going, it is such a dramatic, please listen carefully, it's so exciting. So when he was going, so Hiranyaksha, when he saw the Lord, said, hey, wait, where are you going? This earth belongs to us. We have taken earth to the Rasatala. Who are you to taking away? That's our property. Now can you imagine a living entity saying that the earth is my property? We can claim a property of 2 BHK, 3 BHK at the max, maybe island, people like Michael Jackson or other Hollywood stars. A person claiming that the earth is my property, where you are taking it away? And then he was calling all swear words to Varahadev. What did Varahadev do? He was not paying any attention. He was completely ignoring. Completely ignoring. Why he was ignoring? Because he was carrying Mother Earth. And the Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, may get scared by seeing this demon and, like, you know, having a fight at this point in time. So the Lord thought, let me just put Bhumi Devi, my consort, to a safe place and then I'll come back and deal with this guy. That is what happens, right? Sometimes a person who is really well built, another is going with his girlfriend or a wife, you know, some gundas come and, like, you know, try to pick up the fight. What they do? That fellow doesn't pick up the fight at that point in time, right? He says, don't worry, whatever you want to speak, you speak. So then he, like, you know, take his wife or girlfriend to a safe place, keeps her there, and then he comes back. Haan, toh kya bol rahe the aap? So similarly, the Lord did the same thing. It's really a virya ras that you see in the Lord. It's amazing. And then Varahadev put the Mother Earth on the surface of the ocean. And by his own potency, he made the Mother Earth float on the ocean. And then he came back. And he informed or told this demon, Hiranyaksha, that we are like of wild animals and we are looking for a hunt of a dog like you. You know, so the Lord is also having that, like, you know, the dialogue exchange with him, and there were, like, you know, few swear words happening here and there between them, and they pick up the fight. Both were having a maze, very powerful maze. You can imagine the size, please visualize it, then only you will enjoy it. Otherwise, if you feel like, you know, just a boar and a, like, you know, a demon fighting, you can imagine their size. A boar, a Varahadev is carrying Mother Earth. So imagine the size of Varahadev. And this Hiranyaksha was also the same size. It's not that, like, you know, he was a tiny bit and, like, you know, it's just fighting like a mosquito. It's not like a human being trying to kill the mosquito. That's not the fight. It was an equal fight happening there. And you can imagine the size of their maze as well. What will be the size of their maze? And they were, like, you know, fighting. The first blow was made by Hiranyaksha. And somehow or other, Lord dodged it. And then the Lord tried to hit him, and he, like, you know, put his maze over there. And there was a, like, you know, big sparks happening between their mazes. And they were again fighting for quite some time. Nothing was happening. And because they had a sharp edges on the end of this maze, they were getting bruises and the bloods were oozing out from both of their bodies. And they were, like, you know, fighting very heavily. And one point in time, the Hiranyaksha became so this thing that he started to, like, you know, throw the maze at the Lord. And when he threw the maze at the Lord just catched just like that. You know, like if somebody is throwing a flower and, you know, how somebody can catch it. Similarly, the Lord caught the maze and threw back at Hiranyaksha, this, try one more time. And then Hiranyaksha picked it up, and this time he again threw with some more force. And this time Lord, with his feet, when the maze came, kicked the maze and went back again at the feet of Hiranyaksha. And this time Hiranyaksha felt so humiliated that he did not pick up the maze. I said, it's enough. I can't pick up the maze again. It's so humiliating. So this time he picked up a trident, which was very effulgent and very scary. And this time he threw the trident at the Lord. And what did the Lord do? With the Sudarshan Chakra, Lord completely destroyed the trident, made a powder of the trident. And now this was really unbearable for Hiranyaksha. So what did he do? So that time, he decided that I have to use my magical powers. It's enough now. So he disappeared from the battlefield. And he started creating all kinds of things. He started creating some kind of an earthquake. The winds were blowing so high like a tornado. There was tsunami happening. And like, you know, the complete darkness due to the dark clouds and everything. And then, at this point in time, all the demigods were also watching, including Brahmaji. And they were wondering, my God, it's time for annihilation. It's time for pralay. Looks like that kind of a magical powers Hiranyaksha had. And he had, looks like a millions of demon soldiers were coming and trying to attack the Lord. So at that point in time, all the demigods became so fearful and they started to pray to the Lord, oh my Lord, please do something. So at that point in time, even the demigods were afraid, ki kya hoga? If the Lord will not be able to face this demon, what will be our fate? They were a little selfish there. Huh? We have to live like in fear forever. But at that point in time, Lord, with the help of his own Sudarshan Chakra, completely destroyed the magical powers of Hiranyaksha. Completely. And when it was gone, the Hiranyaksha had to again appear in front of the Lord. And at that point in time, the sunset was about to happen. And again, all the demigods, including Brahma, were again become fearful. That now is the time that demonic powers become more powerful. Because during the evening, as evening approaches, all the demons get their powers more. You know, they become more powerful. So, at that point in time, they all request the Lord that, my Lord, it's enough of playtime now. Now, kill him, you know, it's enough. Aisa na ho jaye ki khelte khelte, like, you know, sometimes you are playing with some, like, you know, Lallu Panju opponent and, you know, you are trying to make him win few things. Right? Chalo abhi tum ek game jeet lo, do game jeet lo. Like, you know, if it's the best of five. Right? Then you make him win two games and then, like, you know, people are wondering kya hoga abhi, you know. So like that, Lord was also creating some kind of excitement for all his devotees. And at that point in time, the Hiranyaksha, what did he do? He tried to embrace the Lord to crush him. Huh? Like Dhritarashtra was trying to embrace a Bhima so that he can completely crush him. So similarly, he was trying to crush him. And he crushed and he thought, like, you know, he somehow or other got it. And when he opened his eyes, saw that the Lord was just standing outside of this circle. And he was completely bewildered. And then he started to beat the Lord with his fist on the chest of the Lord. And it is explained by Srila Sukadeva Goswami that when he was hitting the chest of the Lord, it was like a flower were being thrown at the elephant. If a flowers are being thrown at the elephant, what will be the effect to the elephant? Nothing. Right? So similarly, even the he was not able to even shake the body of the Lord with his fist. And then when the Lord saw his devotees, including Brahma, were in utter distress, Lord says, now it's enough. I can't tolerate the distress of my devotees. And at that point in time, as they say in Mumbaiya language, Lord Varaha ne kaan ke niche diya usko jor se. Gave him such a tight slap below his ears that at that point in time, his eyeballs came out of the socket. He completely, like, you know, had his own whirlwind and fell to the ground dead. Varaha Dev ki! So like that, this whole episode happened. I thought, let me just first cover the story so that, like, you know, the Falashruti was given by His Grace Baldev Prabhu in the morning, that whoever hears this story or the deliverance of Hiranyaksha by Varaha Dev will get a personal association of the Lord in his own abode. And the person who speaks, so I was trying to be selfish and trying to narrate that, try to memorize as much as I can possible. So this is the story of Lord Varaha. So now let's see what we can learn from this Leela of the Lord. What is the meaning of Hiranyaksha? The meaning of Hiranyaksha means the one whose eyes has been coated with gold. One who sees gold everywhere. One who wants to exploit and gratify his senses all the time. So I was just wondering, this particular demon has so much connection to all of us. Hiranyaksha. Why? Because of his name and because of his activities. Because his activities was geared towards acquiring as much gold as possible and enjoy through that gold as much as possible. So where is Kali Yuga residing? When Kali Yuga was face to face with Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit completely destroyed Kali Yuga in one sense. But then Kali Yuga, the Kali Yuga personified, Kali personified said, "Hey, come on Parikshit Maharaj, this is my age. You can't kill me right now. I have to live for another lakhs of years. You can't kill me right now. It's not possible. It is the will of the Lord." But he says, "As long as I am living, you cannot stay in my kingdom." So he said, "I want some place to live, my Lord. Oh, my dear king, some place." So that is where King Parikshit awarded him that you can stay where there is a hoarding for gold. Right? So that is where I see that this particular demon, Hiranyaksha, is so connected to us. And we are all in this Kali Yuga creatures, we are so after acquiring more, more and more. And sometimes when we talk about this, we feel that, oh no, that's for the outsiders who are not practicing Krishna consciousness. No, I'm speaking for myself. I have so much desire to acquire more and more and more. The one day the stock goes up or the goes down, you have a good day or a bad day. Right? You go on checking your bank account and if it grows, it gives such a nice feeling, isn't it? You feel so good about it. And nowadays, if you see in Kali Yuga, it is just completely the age where everyone is after money. Everyone. Even the most noble professions have become so corrupt that they are just after money. I would say 30-40 years ago, these three things were completely free. Which are those three things? Education, medical services, and food. Right? That was almost free. Right? Anywhere you go, nobody would say medical service was not charged at all. Education was never heard. In the end, whatever your capacity is and whatever you want to give, you can give as a Guru Dakshina. Now you see, these are the industries which are making the highest money. Education has become a highest paying profession. Not profession, but the highest business. Money making business. Even I was in Hyderabad and every school I was just come across, it's an international school. Even Gali ke Nukkad pe bhi, it's an international school. I said, my God, what is this? They have completely abused the word international. Completely. And if you go for admission, no, you have to pay this much of donation. After paying the donation, this much of, every time we have a trip here, you have to pay this much. Your stationery is this much. And so many things happening. Right? Medical services. Just 1 year back or something, right? Where the stent price was busted for the angioplasty. Right? It used to cost 2 lakhs or 3 lakhs. And then the actual price we see of that particular thing is so low. And in the name of medical services, it's not that we are generalizing thing. There are so many good doctors. But there are people who are in the name of medical services. They are cheating big time. It has become a big profession. People who are owning hospital has nothing to do with the medical services. They have no medical background. Why do they own it? Because it's a money-making business. Food industry, you see, everywhere, even the water is now a commodity. Can you imagine? And I think instead of food, I think it was a law which was free earlier. Like, you know, you go to the, like, you know, the court and the justice will be given and you don't have to hire a lawyer. Nowadays, if you have a lawyer, means if you're into court case, that means you're almost running towards the bankruptcy if you continue to run your court case. Right? So these are the three things that we see. Why these three noble things have become such a corrupt thing is because the Kali Yuga living entities have so much desire to gain more and more and more. We don't want our kids to become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer just because it's a noble profession. Why we want our kids to be engineer or a doctor? Because it's the highest paying professions. That is why we want them to be. And one shocking thing that I came about was ridiculous. And I said, this is the height of abusing astrology. What is that? They figure out that if a wife is pregnant and the delivery is due, right? So nowadays, most of the unfortunate thing is they have to go for a, like, you know, operation, right? There is no natural delivery happening anymore. So what do? Is they figure out, of course, Vaishnavas pray that, like, you know, hope my, whoever the living entity is coming to my home can be born on such an auspicious day, like Varaha Dwadashi or Ekadashi or any of that sort, right? We pray like that. But the people, what do? They actually look at the astrological chart and they say, they tell the doctor that do the operation at this time and you have to complete the operation at this time and the child has to come out at this particular time, because in this particular muhurta, if the child come out, then there is a high chances of he or she becoming a doctor or an engineer. I was shocked. It's a practice happening in Calcutta and I'm sure it's happening everywhere as well. So can you imagine? And we may wonder, oh, no, I'm not that bad. I can't do this. And I'm just speaking to myself. At what age I send my kids to the school? Any guesses? At the age of 3. Right? They go to the, like, you know, kindergarten or maybe playgroup. It's just an amazing concept nowadays coming. It's because you have to send to the playgroup because, you know, they get used to with the school environment. Otherwise, you know, they will lose out on so much of learning when they go to the kindergarten. Because if they are not used to, because they will go and cry only. They will not learn anything. I said, my God, what is this? At the age of 3.5, you want your child to learn something? And that too, an academic thing? It's just an unfortunate thing. But just imagine, what are we doing? Have we not sent our kids? I'm speaking for myself as well. I sent. Why? Because if I don't send, then I'll be odd man out. Maybe my neighbors will come and say that, sir, you don't have enough money. We can support you. We have some schemes, you know, where we can get some donation and, like, you know, there are places where you can send your kids. Why you are not doing this? Huh? It can become, if your child does not go to school until the age of 6 or 7, I'm sure your neighbors will have a question mark whether this person got bankrupted, ya to loan ka kuch to gafla ho gaya hai, ya to uska business ya job mein gadbad ho gaya hai. You know, this person does not have good standing in a financial terms. That is practically people will think. Right? So we need to think that do we really need to do that? And then we wonder that when our children grow up, why they are behaving like this? When the age for them to play, we send them to the school. Even in Finland today, the child does not go. It's a rule. In Finland, the child does not go to the school until they are 7. And we see what we are doing in India. There are people who are sending at the age of 2 also. It's such a... Because why? And I have seen with my own eyes, people fight with the teacher in kindergarten, in their first standard, in their junior KG, senior KG, that, you know what, dusre school mein to addition aa gaya, tum log kyun nahi karate ho addition hamare bacche ko, subtraction chalu ho gaya dusre school mein, my child will stay behind. I can see even at this age, my kids are in what, 7th standard? And I see that they still have not developed that affection for study. I'm sure the same case with all of you. Right? And probably you will say that if my child is developed an affinity for study in the standard 5 or 6, I will say there is something wrong with your child. Seriously. If your child does not play enough, does not sweat enough, what that child is going to do in the life? Huh? That's what our honorable Prime Minister also is saying. Same thing. He said a very fantastic thing, and I really loved it. I would like to share that with you. Many a times what we think, humko kuch banana hai hamare bacche ko. We think isko doctor banayenge, engineer banayenge, CSCS banayenge, ICWA banayenge. He says, don't do that. It's a torture to a child. He says, very amazing thing. He said, I never thought I'll become a prime minister. He said, never ever I thought I'll become a prime minister. And I did not have a dream also. So he said that kuch karte, usko karne ka inspiration do. Usko kya karna achha lagta hai, usko aap motivate karo. Usme aap usko encourage karo. To kuch karte karte kuch ban jayega. Kyunki engineer hoke bhi to kuch karna padega na. अगर उसको इंजीनियरिंग में जो करना है वो अभी नहीं कर रहा है तो वो कैसे वो अच्छा इंजीनियर बनेगा. अगर उसको सर्जरी में या किसी पेशेंट के प्रति या उसको सद्भावना ही नहीं है, अगर हिज हार्ट इज नॉट सेल्फलेस, व्हाई वन शुड बिकम अ डॉक्टर. डॉक्टर रिक्वायर्स अ सेल्फलेस हार्ट, राइट? दैट इज व्हाट इज रिक्वायर्ड. सो ही सेड कुछ करते करते कुछ बन जाएगा. इट्स एन अमेजिंग थिंग. आई रियली लव दैट कॉन्सेप्ट. You encourage what they want to do. It's very, very important. And that is what we see in Kali Yuga. Why we are so after money, money and money? Is because we think that's what satisfies. And we see there are people who have a lot of money. Have you ever heard a beggar committing suicide? No, you always find a rich people committing suicide. You don't find a beggar committing a suicide. You go to Jagannath Puri, you go to Govardhan Parikrama, your heart will cry. If I will be in that situation, I will commit suicide. Have you seen the beggars around Govardhan Parikrama? And even in Jagannath Puri? Like their limbs were completely gone. Like, you know, they don't have legs. Sometimes they don't have even legs and the hands together. Can you imagine how that person could be living? It is by the God's grace that person is living. Because he has that inspiration to go on. But a person who has so much, he says, I'm done with the life. That is what it is. So that is why we see this Hiranyaksha is playing a very critical role in our life. I'll tell you another shocking thing which is happening. The industries are now talking about all these new inventions, right? And the most pathetic invention ever happened in the history of humanity is mobile phones. जिसने जो आज तक किसी ने नहीं किया वो मोबाइल फोन ने किया है. कैसे और क्या किया? हमारा सबका सर हमेशा ऐसे गर्व से उठा रहता था और हम चलते थे. आज देखो हमेशा सबका सर शर्म से झुक गया है. क्यों? एवरीवेयर यू सी इज लाइक दिस ओनली. दे कांट पुट देयर हेड अप. एवरीवेयर लाइक दिस. सो कैन यू इमेजिन दिस यूथ इफ दे आर गोइंग इन टू दिस कंप्लीटली व्हाट विल हैपन. I was addressing the third year engineering students and I asked them, can you describe yourself in one line? And they're saying, most of the things I heard is, I am cool, I am smart, nothing else. I said, my God, if this is the youth of our country, where we are heading? Why? Because again, the same thing. Sir, I want to become a, like, you know, good professional. It will be a byproduct. You have learned engineering. You will get a job and you will go ahead in your life. You don't have to, like, you know, do an extra endeavor for it. Right? And then all these engineering and other things is now coming up with something called AI. What is that AI? It's called artificial intelligence. And that artificial intelligence is most likely going to repeat the story of Frankenstein. So I was in one of the, like, you know, the workshop of artificial intelligence, and I was shocked. This person had an amazing math. You know, he was doing the the derivations and integrations and differentiations, and all those things were so fantastic. Like, you know, and he was calculating, like, you know, math so fast. And then he said, what is a breakthrough in this particular industry of artificial intelligence? He said the same breakthrough that happened in evolution. Now, these are PhDs from Cornell. Such a highly educated people. And for me, I consider them as they are junior KG students, as per our Shastras. He is saying, what was a breakthrough in evolution is discovered by an evolutionist from Australia. He said, at one point in time on Earth, there were not so many living entities. It was very few. But suddenly, if you see the graph, at one particular point in time, it went up just like that. And people wonder, what was the reason for that? He said, do you all want to know the reason for that? So we were very curious. He said, at that point in time, the living entity started developing eyes. Before that, there were no eyes. So the living entities were like, you know, dying on their own. There is nothing happening. They were not able to find their food. Just see the what a fantastic proposal that they are making. You know, because they did not have the eyes, so where to find food, how to find food, they did not know. So kya hoga? Thode dino ke baad mar jayega. Kitne baad aap amarnath upvas karenge? Right? Hunger strike. You can't go eternally, right? You have to die. But then suddenly they started developing eyes. So they were seeing, where is my food? And they started running after their food. And the other living entity, they were thinking, oh, this is going to eat me. So they started running away. So like that, they were trying to survive. And then what they felt is, oh, the food is on the other side and I'm on the other side of the river. So they started learn how to swim and stay in the water. The survival of the fittest. I said, my God, and this guy is PhD from Cornell and he is a data scientist. I said, my God, it's amazing. It's amazing. They believe this theory. Can you imagine tomorrow if I say, you know, because there was a drought here and then, like, you know, the only way to, like, you know, survive was in the ocean. So some of us started jumping into the ocean and some of us developed the, like, you know, the fins and other things. So we started swimming. I said, come on. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And then now, he's saying, what is a breakthrough in AI, artificial intelligence? He said, now the computer also started seeing. What does that mean? Is now the computer can also recognize a cat or a dog. Jaise hum log dekhte hain. He said, how do you teach your child? Usko dikhayenge. Beta ye pustak hai. Haan? Beta ye kartal hai. To usko baar baar bolne se, kya hoga wo? Samajh jayega ki ye kartal hai, ye pustak hai. And then uske baad wo apne aap hi batayega. Huh? So like that, they are saying the millions of data has to be fed to this computer. They become expert. So now they have started recognizing each and everything. And I was shocked that, you know, how they collected all this data? They collected all this data from us only. Because if you remember the captcha thing coming on the website, you have to enter what is this image, what is this other thing. So you go on labeling, this is this, this is this. You go on labeling. So like that, they have acquired all this data and now the computer can do it. And see the wonder. See, we are with the technology, it's not that. But atom bomb was also invented with a good intentions. Isn't it? But see what has happened. So similarly, here in this case also we are fearing. Now, what are the good applications? They said it can detect a cancer from the whatever your reports are. Your other reports that you have generated through, like, you know, different tests that you are doing, CT scan and other stuff. Right? Why? Because a human can make an error, but if a machine has learned that if this combination is happening, then it is a cancer. So now if the machine could see thousands of data, and machine can read thousands of books, so machines are going to be more powerful than us. Why? because Hiranyaksha mentality. We want to earn more and more and more. How this tie were invented? Do we require a tie? No, but we just do it. India mein summer mein somebody ka shaadi hai and then in the reception that fellow is wearing a suit. Can you imagine the hot of the summer? Goes out, ghode pe bhi jayega bechara, suit mein jayega. Kyun? It's a trend. So we are completely a herd mentality, a blind leading the blind. And that is where the shastras are very important. That is where we read that how we have to get out of it. And that is where even the devotees are not exempted from it. And that is what we see what happened in the case of Diti. Right? Diti was practicing for many, many years. But that does not mean that you cannot commit mistake. Your practice does not guarantee you a success. So anytime you can commit mistake, and no matter how long you have done the practice, you have to pay for the mistake. The reaction will come for the mistake. Why? It is as simple as that. You may be driving for 15 years, you may be driving for 50 years, but you cross the red light and you say, sir, this is the first time I crossed in my life. Please forgive me. Nothing doing. You broke the signal, you committed the mistake, you have to pay for it. If it is happening in the case of material life, what to speak of the spiritual life? Well, the laws are so stringent. And we may wonder that, you know, some of the things I am doing, who is watching me? We have a CCTV camera 24/7. And they don't have to go and where the crime was committed and let's go back. That system is much more powerful than AI. Lord system is much more powerful than AI. Now, coming to AI, sorry, just one more incident that I want to share, that how people have become so cruel in terms of, like, you know, trying to understand about the AI. I was just teaching my kids about a little bit on the science that, you know, how we see the things. So similarly, they were trying to do for the AI. So the rays come, right? It's not that I can see the image, like, you know, this fan or the chandelier. It's actually the eyes, what does it see? It just sees the, like, you know, light rays. It goes and there is a, like, you know, cornea and other things where, like, you know, your reflection happens and actually the image is ulta. And then your brain is the one, the nerves, and there are some neurons which actually interprets that image and makes it up, like, you know, the upside down image, the right image. And that's how you see. So what they wanted, what they did is, okay, this is how it is happening. So let's do some experiment. They took a rabbit. And what did they do? They cut that particular nerve which was connected to the eyeball and the brain. So sure enough, the rabbit became blind. The poor rabbit. Now they thought, let's just cut the, like, the same thing with the ears. So they disconnected the cord between the ear and the brain. So now the poor rabbit has become deaf and blind. Now these experiments are actually happening. How many atrocities we are doing on the poor animals is unbelievable. And I can't imagine the kind of karma they will go through. Now what did they do? They connected the cord of a brain and the, like, you know, which was going to the eye. They connected with the ear. Okay, the eye ka thing connected with the ear, thinking what will happen. And then the ear thing they connected with the eye. They swept the cords. You are getting it? They swept the cord. And they thought, let's see what happens. So first few days, the rabbit was not able to see and rabbit was deaf. After 15 days, on the 16th day, the rabbit started to see and hear, to their utter surprise. Why? Because the brain learns on its own. And that is why they are saying, that is something called machine learning. The machine learns on its own. That is what they are trying to do. And that is why they were doing this experiment. And there is something called a neural net. So technical. I don't want to go there. But what I am trying to say is, what is that Hiranyaksha mentality? It's so deep rooted. You want to take a life of a rabbit. And I am sure by doing these experiments, how many rabbits they must have killed. so many rabbits. So now the Diti, let's come back to the point where Diti committed the mistake, right? So similarly, we also feel that, oh, why I should get punished for it? I have been performing devotional service for so long. If that is the attitude, that means what? We are trying to dictate the terms with Lord. The devotional service should happen as per my terms. That is what we are saying, right? That I have been performing devotional service for so long, why you are punishing me for this small offense? But we are not realizing that the Lord is in control. And we want to love the God. We want to love Krishna. We just don't want to perform bhakti so that we become better in the life. If that is the case, then I think we are in the wrong place. We are doing bhakti to please the Lord. So we are ready to do anything and everything. And at that point in time, why did she commit mistake, first of all? That is also important to know. The root cause of we committing the mistake is nothing but our desires. Isn't it? Because our desires is the thing that makes us helpless. That makes us think that, oh, you know what? I've been performing sadhana for so long. I've been devotee for 20 years. That is how your mind plays the philosophy. That is how the complacency creeps in. It says, come on, you have been a devotee for 15 years, 20 years. Abhi thoda sa ye kar liya to kya farak padega? It's good na. Anyways, tumko thoda entertainment bhi to chahiye yaar, nahi to kitna saal tikoge bhakti mein? The mind can make proposals like anything. And that is what we see. It is said that in many devotees' case, after a long time, after a prolonged devotional service, the bad habits or the past conditioning actually haunts you. And it is a fact. If you ask a two-year devotee, he says, I'm on my way back home, back to Godhead. Next year I'm done. You know? But if you ask a 15-year devotee, then you find, arre yaar, iska utsa kyun chala gaya? Kuch samajh mein nahi aa raha, ekdam kya ho gaya achanak isko? But at that point in time, it's not that his enthusiasm has gone down, but he or she may be struggling with their anarthas. Because that past conditioning has come again. Why it has come again? It's to make us sober again. Otherwise, we take devotional service for granted. We take devotional service for granted. That is why bhakti is so dynamic. So dynamic. It is not like autopilot. There is no such thing called autopilot. Kabhi bhi aisa nahi hoga ki aap first floor pe gaye aur jump mare aur instead of coming down you went up. Aisa kabhi nahi hoga. It's a law. In this world everything has to come down. If you are not endeavoring to go up, we will come down. That is given. So that is why we have to be so alert while we are performing our spiritual life. Now, does that mean that these desires will, go away? No, desires will never go away. Desires are never going to go away. And then we will see what happens with those desires is, as I said, it actually completely eclipses your discrimination and desire and your determination. So that is where we require this kind of satsang again and again. That is why we have to remind ourselves that what we are, who we are, why we are here. If we don't remind ourselves, then we will fall for sure. And that is why it is important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say that all these festival celebrations are like a food for our bhakti. That is why it is so important that we come together and celebrate these festivals. It is so auspicious for all of us. It is so auspicious. And then another thing is what to learn from this is Kashyapa Muni being so strong. How he got allured. So that is why it is very important that we have to choose our company. We have to choose our association. And even though that's something we cannot avoid, somehow or other we have to remind ourselves and we have to change the situation. We have to endeavor for it. As I said, nothing comes as a autopilot thing. We have to endeavor for it. Right? And after that, when she committed mistake, what it brings is actually that mistake is the cause of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? That mistake is the cause of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So that is why it is said there are four types of mistake that brings inauspiciousness. What are those four types of mistakes? And that is what is being described by Kashyapa Muni after this incident happened. And he was actually imparting knowledge to Diti. That my dear wife, actually there are four mistakes that one commits to bring inauspicious in their life. What is the first thing? Impurity of mind. Right? Her mind became impure. And having these impure desires, even though he explained that we can have after some time, because this is not the right time. We can have it after. But she was so overpowered by her impure desires that she couldn't resist. So we also have to correct our desires. And how do we correct our desires? As I said, we can't kill the desires. As they give an example, Srila Prabhupada gives an example. If you want to empty a muddy water, what do? You go on pouring the clean water. Go on pouring the clean water. And then automatically all the bad things will come out and they'll go away. So the only solution for bad desire is to have a good desires. If you would like to decorate yourself, go and decorate the deities. If you like to go to the places, let's go to the holy places. We have a wonderful, we were at Govardhan Eco Village, and it's an amazing that how this Vrindavan is getting manifested. It's just an amazing thing. And we were there, and like, you know, many of us had a misconception that, oh, this GEV is only for the yoga people and only for the, like, you know, rich people who can afford, luxurious thing. But for all of us, our information, there is a beautiful ashram coming up. It's called Payal Ashram, which will be very affordable for all of us, all our congregation, so that we all can go and absorb ourselves into the right mood of Vrindavan. And why this is happening is because we are in the association of a pure devotee, like His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He is putting so much endeavor to make this place a place of pilgrimage for not just for the congregation, but for the entire Maharashtra and for the entire world, a place of pilgrimage. So that is what is happening. There is so much things are there, but we are unaware of it. And we don't take advantage of it. And that is where we get caught up into these small things. So I request, I'm sure it will be done by the end of November or so. That's what Gaurang Prabhu informed us. And definitely from next year, every one of us will be able to afford going to GEV and stay there. And absorb ourselves in the mood of Vrindavan. How many of you been to that installation of Radha Madan Mohanji? It was just an amazing thing. Like, you know, it's like, it's out of the world. And Sridharma Prabhu shared a wonderful realization that I would like to share with all of you. That this is the only place in the world where the beautiful temple is there and the same deities are also there. What is happening in Vrindavan? We have the temple, we have the structure, but we don't have the original deities. The original deities are in Karoli. Right? But in Karoli, we do not have that munificent temple that was built by Sanatan Goswami. Right? But here, we have both. We have the original temple and the original deities. Why I am saying the original deities is because the same Goswami of Karoli had come. He had only three times had come out of Karoli. Two because of the family emergency and third time for the installation of Radha Madan Mohanji at GEV, Govardhan Eco Village. And when he saw first time Radha Madan Mohanji dressed after the installation, he told Radhanath Swami Maharaj that they are non-different than the Radha Madan Mohanji at Karoli. So, we have this opportunity to visit there, and believe me, it's so beautiful. We were there yesterday and it's such an overwhelming experience. So, being a part of this community, we are not realizing our fortune. It is said that, you know, somebody has a hira, and you know, if it is lost, then that person will realize. But somebody who does not have a hira and said like, you know, diamond gum gaya to usko pata nahi chalega. But we all have got this diamond of the association of Radha Gopinath Bhakt Samaj. And if you take it for granted, it will be taken away. Right? If you have a precious Kohinoor diamond, you just like, you know, keep it anywhere and just roam around. You keep it so close to your heart. You keep it so close to your heart because it's so valuable. So similarly, the bhakti that we have got, and not just bhakti, the association of the devotees that we have here, is just unbelievable. And I'm sure all of you coming here and sitting in this temple hall and taking the darshan of Shri Radha Gopinath ji, believe me, we all feel something special, isn't it? There is something about this place. There are millions of people outside who have not got this opportunity. And we are the one who have been given this opportunity. So let's not take it lightly. Let's take it very seriously. And when we come here, let us absorb ourselves in taking the darshan of the Lord, participate in kirtan, and taking association of the devotees. So that is how we can make our mind pure. What was the second thing? The second thing was the inappropriate time. Right? That is why shadi ka muhurat bhi hota hai. Har ek cheez ka muhurat hota hai na. Somehow we got so influenced by the Western thing, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There is no need of shoes, there is no need of pant and shirt and everything. I know I am wearing it, but I'm just speaking to myself. But we are so, like, you know, dumb that we are not realizing that what is our culture, what is our Sanskruti. And we are just anything and everything. Everything has a time. Everything. Even for anybody want to have a progeny, there is a Garbhadharan Sanskar. A child turning for the first time, there is a Samskara. There is a Vivaha Samskara. There is a Annaprashan Samskar, the first time the grain ceremony happening. It's such a beautiful thing. And we have come so far away from it. It's such a misfortune of ours. Such a misfortune. And we feel, arre kya hoga isme? You know, because we have seen people getting married at the Amavasya also and uska marriage chal gaya. Arre, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's all about invoking auspiciousness. It's all about, because we don't see the bigger picture. We just see that particular time and this thing. We may see only 2 years or 3 years. We are not seeing their entire life. And we feel, oh, nothing happens. Why we worry for the time? Everything we do has a time. Right? That is why we see sleeping also has a time. And if you sleep at inappropriate time, we invite inauspiciousness. And when do we sleep? Most of the time during our sadhana, japa. That's not the time to sleep. I also sleep. I'm just reminding myself. I'm not telling any one of you here. I'm just reminding myself. Believe me, for me the opportunity to give class in Radha Gopinath is to preach to myself. Because I get so much, my wife sometimes gets very irritated. Like, you know, kitna preparation karoge, kitna padhte rahoge. Like, you know, you just have to give a class. Ek ghante ka class hai, uske liye you go on preparing for almost 20 hours. But I really feel that's an opportunity for me to study because I am not a person who is a reader. So this gives me an opportunity to read. And such an, I'm so grateful to the management for giving this opportunity again and again. So the inappropriate time, the time for eating also, right? So you have to eat at a particular time. It's not just every now and then during the class or like, you know, having your japa also kuch dal diya muh mein. No. So everything has a time. If you don't do it as per the time, we invite inauspiciousness. What is the third mistake? Impolite. What did Diti do? Diti was impolite to her own husband. Her husband instructed her, but she disobeyed that. Because she was overpowered with the desires, of course. But what was the quality? Was impolite. She was impolite to her own husband. And the same thing can happen to us. If we are impolite to senior Vaishnavas or to our authorities, when they are instructing us for our good. Because it's not easy to get a feedback. It is not at all easy. And sometimes a feedback can come from the junior also. And if we are sincere enough, we can take that as an instruction of the Lord. And if we do that, we will progress. If we don't, we invite inauspiciousness. That is very, very important. What is the fourth thing? Impudence. She was impudent to whom? To all the demigods. She disrespected Lord Shiva and all the other demigods. Because Kashyapa Muni informed her that, please, my dear wife, this time Lord Shiva is going to moving around and it's a disrespect to him if we are indulging in this particular activity. And she says, nothing doing. Right? So these are the four things. Impurity of mind, inappropriate timing, impoliteness, and impudence. So these are the four things can bring inauspiciousness. So we have to guard against this four thing in order to bring auspiciousness in our life. So now let's just go back to Varaha Dev. So now Diti, so these are the lessons that we learn from Hiranyaksha, that the holding on to the money part, and let's not forget about the samskaras and other things that we have, should not come in between in our earnings or anything else that we are doing. And then the mistakes that we commit because of we are overpowered by our desires, how we can purify our desires, and these are the four mistakes that we commit that brings inauspiciousness, right? So these are the lessons that we learn. Now another thing that we learn from Varahadev. What do we learn from Varahadev? How Lord Varahadev appeared is actually when Lord Brahma was seeing all the atrocities done by Hiranyaksha, he was wondering, what do I do? There is nothing can be done. So at that point in time, when he was meditating on Lord Vishnu for protection and for help, at that point in time, actually Varahadev came out of Brahma's nostril. And he came, at that time he was Angustha Matrena. He was just of the size of a thumb. And then, slowly but surely, he grew. And when he grew, all the rishis, the sons of Brahmas and others were wondering what is happening. They were actually arguing, who is this? Is this another expansion of Hiranyaksha? Or is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who is he? And then, the way the Lord roared, everybody got confirmation that he is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So at that point in time, what's the lesson that we learn? That anything can start really small. But if you have the right desires and the right mood and the right bhakti, it can grow where the sky is the limit. And that is what happened in the history of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada started a very humble beginning in a Tompkins Square Park. Just a bongo drum, a mendicant with no property whatsoever. No property. He started with that. And 1 year of struggle, if you read Lila Amrita, I'm sure even the steel framed person or the heart made up of steel will also melt when you read Lila Amrita. The kind of struggle that Srila Prabhupada went through. But because, like Brahma, he had a faith in the Lord and His holy names, we are sitting here and discussing the pastimes of Lord Varahadev is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That is what happened. It started very small, but it grew exponentially. That is the beauty. Right? And now, we have a lot of anarthas in our heart. Right? So, we can be expert manager. We feel that I can manage wealth, I can manage resources, I can manage property, I can manage this, I'm an expert manager. But can we manage our own anarthas? Not possible. We can manage anything and everything. But we cannot manage our own anartha. So who do we need to manage our anarthas? Who do we need to kill Hiranyaksha. Can Indra could kill Hiranyaksha? Can Brahma kill Hiranyaksha? No. Who do we need to kill Hiranyaksha? We need Lord himself, Varahadev. So similarly, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and all the other demons are sitting in our heart. Of course, we are today talking about Hiranyaksha. He's sitting in our heart. Only one person can kill. And that is none other than Lord Varahadev. So that is why we have to offer prayers to Lord Varahadev. That, oh my Lord, please, I have no capacity. Only you can kill Hiranyaksha who is sitting in my heart. We are all after gold, isn't it? Gold in the sense money, right? But we should be hankering after another gold. We have all come to ISKCON, isn't it? We all have come to ISKCON with the vision of Hiranyaksha. But let us pray to Varahadev that let my vision be transformed in such a way that rather than seeing the gold, I start seeing golden avatar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is what we must pray on this auspicious day. And golden avatar of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come in this Kali Yuga just 500 years ago. Srila Prabhupada used to say, he had just come 500 years ago. And what he has given a very simple process to perfect our life. Is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on this auspicious day of Varaha Dwadasi, let us pray for each other also. Because when we pray for others, Lord sees that he is developing non-enviousness. And Lord becomes very pleased, believe me, when we pray for others. Of course, we have to pray for ourselves also. Right? But let us pray for others as well. And this world needs Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is only one problem in this world is lack of Krishna consciousness. And believe me, the people out are suffering. When I travel through the local trains, I feel miserable not because of the crowd, but I feel miserable seeing the people glued to their mobile phones. You feel miserable for their lives. So let us pray for them that somehow or other, whenever you are meeting people, give Krishna to others. Three things Lord Chaitanya said. Jivedaya, Name Ruchi and Vaishnava Seva. These are the most important things. What is Jivedaya? Is give Krishna to others who are suffering. They may be suit and boot and everything, as I said. You know, they may be wealthy, but believe me, they are struggling. And a person who is a beggar, he is also struggling. Anybody who does not have Krishna is struggling. So let us give Krishna to others in whatever way or form or shape we can give. So on this auspicious day, I thank you all very much for giving me your attention and listening to me. And I request one last thing is you please pray for me so that I can truly develop a Jivedaya, Vaishnav Seva and Namaruchi. That is the goal of my life. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is there anyone would like to make any comments? I don't have a guts to ask questions, but if anybody has any questions, you may ask. Yeah, so he's asking why Varahadev came out of nostril. And this helps me to bring out another point is today's intellectual, they are called millennials. The today's younger generation, they are called millennials and they are called to be the smartest. Why? Because from the age of 1 or 2, they can literally start operating the mobile phones. Whereas a 60-70-year-old grandma or grandpa, they don't know how to operate a mobile phone and they feel ke are yaar, aaj ka generation to kya smart hai yaar. And what is another smartness of there? Is they ask questions. They ask questions, why Lord Ram banished Sita? Sita was so nice. Why Ravana has to be killed? He was such a nice. But they don't ask questions that why Valentine's Day on 14th February? Why not on 14th June? Valentine was it she or he? They don't ask. Kaun tha Valentine? Kabhi poochte nahi hai. But they ask, why Ram banished Sita? Why did this? Why did that? These are nothing but an excuses not to practice spiritual life. Not in connection with you, Prabhu, for asking that question. The Lord came from the nostril is because Lord is Swaraj. The one of the quality of the Lord is He is independent. He can do anything and everything. So He came out of that nostril because He was Swaraj. And He wanted to make sure that for me, neither the body of a boar is inauspicious, nor the place that I come from is inauspicious. For me, whatever I do, everything is auspicious. That is what the Lord wanted to prove. Okay, so I thought you are asking why Brahma came from the north. Yeah.
What Brahma did, because Brahma is also a personality.
Yeah. So why the Lord appeared in first place is because at that point in time, the Mother Earth had fallen into the Garbhodak ocean. So Mother Earth was completely exploited by the demons. And the Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, is none other than the consort of the Lord also, the devotee of the Lord. And Brahmaji could not see the position of Bhumi Devi. So that is why he was praying to the Lord. And not just that, all the demigods were completely seized by fear. They're completely seized by fear. They could not even come out. Can you imagine? They were completely like a snake going into the, hole. They were not coming out at all. So it was completely adharma happening. And that is what we see in Bhagavad Gita, that why Lord appears is that the shloka that we have, right? To annihilate the miscreant. So that is why the Lord appeared. And Brahma was praying that, my Lord, it's now time. You please come. Like, all of us are living in such a miserable life, and not just that, the Mother Bhumi had fallen into such a place. So that's the reason. Does that answer your question? Okay, is there any other question, or we can just conclude here? Okay, thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Few announcements. Today's Sunday feast, Prasad. Lunch Prasad is sponsored by Mr. Dilip Prajapati. MVS group seeking blessings from all the devotees for spiritual well-being of him and his family. Let us express our best wishes, gratitude and prayers by loudly chanting 3 times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Yeah, we would request all those